there's no polite way to get into the narrow entrance of Wingate Cave.
So it sounds like backing in is the best way?
Backing in and coming down, I believe, is the best way to get over this thing. Unless you're small and flexible.
Which I am not.
But once I scramble inside, I see that things open up. There's a tall room, a stream underfoot, and a steep passageway reaching up to a higher entrance.
I'm looking at a crack in the side of the wall, and there's a white, almost foamy substance there. It's moon milk. It's part mineral, part bacteria, part who knows what. It's covering part of the side of this wall, almost all the way up to the ceiling.
Moon milk isn't really all that impressive to look at. It sort of reminds me of sprayed-on insulation, or toothpaste, or even curdled cottage cheese. But it's fascinating because it's a mineral feature that's packed full of living organisms. Forest Service geologist Jim Bechtel is fascinated, too.
Moon milk exists throughout the cave, but it's really prominent in these fractures that get up approaching the surface, like we're maybe 35, 40 feet below the forest above us. And all of the formations you see up there are soft, even though they look like stalagmites and stalactites and flowstones. They're moon milk. It's hydrous calcium carbonate formed by bacteriological activity.
Scientists are taking a hard look at what's on the walls of this cave and others on Prince of Wales Island because there's so much of it. This moon milk is dense, a yard deep in some places. Elsewhere around the world, it's often only a thin crust. But why do they care? Because this stuff actually eats rock. It doesn't need light or other plants or animals or any sort of organic material to survive. It's on a hard rock diet. To find out more, I called Penny Boston, a New Mexico-based microbiologist and expert on cave formations who's studying the moon milk in Wingate Cave.
The detailed chemistry and so forth is interesting scientifically, but the real message here is that these guys are chewing their way through bedrock, and they're pooping out or reprecipitating in some fashion these unique formations.
Dozens of tiny organisms live in this stuff, including bacteria and fungi. Under a microscope, it looks like filaments woven around finned, rod-shaped crystals. But other versions exist around the world, and it isn't all the same.
You can get dry moon milk, you can get the pasty moon milk, you can get powdery moon milk. It's a cave formation that has multiple forms.
Geomicrobiologist Annette Summers Ingle is a scientist specializing in underground life forms. I reached her where she teaches at Louisiana State University. She's traveled to high elevation caves in Italy to find moon milk almost as dense as in Alaska. She says it may have something to do with the cold.
It could be a combination of the chemical conditions of the cave environment, the correct temperature, correct pH, correct concentration of different components in the water in some of these caves make the geochemistry and the mineralogy conducive for moon milk formation.
Some of the living components are from the surface or have close relatives above ground. But Boston, who works with the National Cave and Karst Research Institute, says others are more exotic.
In fact, in some of our caves, the closest relatives will be something very exotic like deep-sea hydrothermal vent organisms, or they'll be related to marine organisms.
And some of it, well, doesn't seem to be closely related to anything. Summers Ingle says some of the microorganisms may have evolved underground.
Certainly we know that animals that live in caves have had very rapid, over geologic time periods, very rapid evolution. So, sure, microbes getting washed into the caves over geologic time periods may actually evolve into new species within the cave systems.
Scientists have known about moon milk for at least half a century, but recent advances in DNA and microscopic imaging have helped them understand how unusual this stuff is. Researchers such as Summers Ingle are considering its role in the underground food chain. They've found tiny beetles and other organisms that devour the even tinier critters found within the foamy white formation. Back in Alaska, geologist Jim Bechtel is interested in the role moon milk plays in the forest ecosystem. He knows trees grow taller over cave-pocketed areas. Maybe moon milk is the reason. Just inside Wingate Cave, he points to a foam-filled fissure.
It's completely packed with roots. The roots come right to the base of the Moon Milk, and just the nodes stick out. And it makes me wonder if there is a relationship between the bacteriological activity releasing nutrients to the trees, making it available to the trees, and also the fact that it's moist all the time. And so maybe the Moon Milk is the source for the water and the nutrients for this forest that's flourishing above.
Figuring that out might help scientists get a better handle on the health of the forest. Moon milk could also be useful in the study of geology, evolution, and climate change. Scientists are even examining it as they try to predict what life might be like on other planets. That's because it lives in extreme conditions, underground, away from sunlight and conventional food that might exist elsewhere in the solar system. This is Ed Schoenfeld.